Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To deepen our spiritual maturity, God sometimes takes away all the comforts we've been used to. It's possible for God to lead His people into the wilderness for their greater good and His greater glory. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. In this, the second of seven messages, we turn to Genesis 12 to see a man follow the call of God into the wilderness, a call we may need to follow.
Trusting God when the wells are dry. I begin today with a question: where do you go when you are in a tight place? Of course, if someone in your home is having a heart attack, you call the paramedics. If you have a fire, you call the fire department. But what do you do when there is no agency that can take care of your problem for you? What do you do if your spouse walks out of a marriage? What if you are unjustly fired and unjustly accused? What then? What if the doctor walks into your room and tells you things about your body that you thought would only be true of somebody else? You have cancer. What then? Broken relationships and pain. Where do you go? The title of this series of messages is Famines, Deserts, and Other Hard Places. I chose this title not because I think that America is going to have a famine. I think that, given our wheat fields in this great nation, we'll not experience a famine. But we may experience a financial downturn. And sometimes during those times of struggle, and some of you are in that predicament right now, we wonder what to do and where to turn. And in the Bible, as I look at the scripture, I realize that the closest thing to economic hardship is really a famine, because they didn't have an economy like ours. So I've been looking in the scripture and finding out about famines. In fact, the next message in this series is going to be on all the different things that God does through famines. But today we're going to look at the life of a man who experienced an unexpected famine, and what he did right, what he did wrong, and where do we go from here? The man's name is Abraham, and the story is in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, you know it well, probably, that Abraham was actually there in Ur of the Chaldees, and God called him and told him that he was to go into a land that God would show him. He traveled without a map. Chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abram. By the way, you'll notice in Genesis 12, it is Abram and Sarai. Later on, they are renamed by God Abraham and Sarah. So I'm going to go with their renamed names, because that's what I'm primarily used to. So the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I'm going to make you a great nation. And Abraham goes. I wonder how he convinced Sarah that he should do this. I've heard from God. Let's go. Can you imagine that? Husbands, try it. So they come into the land, and behold, the Canaanite is there, but he's in the land, and the Lord confirms, this is the land I have chosen for you. God confirms it. And Abraham builds an altar unto the Lord, verse 7, and he worships to the Lord. And in verse 8, he went to Bethel on the west side and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, still going toward the Negev, that means the desert. Is he in the will of God? Yes. Is he there by obedience to God? Yes. This land was a gift to him from God, and he was obedient in following the Lord. That's why we're surprised when we get to verse 10. In verse 10, we read, "Now there was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land." In the middle of obedience, in the middle of doing God's will, right in the place of blessing, the land of blessing, there is a severe famine. Maybe you've experienced that too. You left one job and you took another and you prayed about it and you gave it to God, and now 6 months later, the company is being downsized and you've been let go, and you say to yourself, "How can this be? I must be out of God's will." Not necessarily. Abraham, in the middle of God's will, obedient to God, experienced a severe famine. Remember the disciples, Jesus said, "Get into the boat and go to the other side." Were they in God's will, doing what Jesus told them to do? Yes. And in obedience to Christ, they experienced one of the most devastating storms that they'd ever experienced. Don't ever think that the most holy path is always the smoothest path. Sometimes the roughest path is the holy path for you and for me. Well, the famine came to Abraham, and as trials do, they came without instructions. There was no tag on it from God saying, "Abraham, you have a severe famine, and you've got a wife, and you've got camels and servants to take care of. I want you to do this." No, trials come without instructions, without guidance, and there we are. God has a purpose, but we sure don't know what it is when we're going through it. Now, I need to emphasize that it was not wrong in this sense for Abraham to go to Egypt, or to clarify, I think it was wrong for Abraham to go to Egypt, but that doesn't mean that whenever a famine comes, you shouldn't move. As a matter of fact, in the next message, I'm going to point out that God often uses famines to move people. That's the way in which the Israelites got into Egypt, was because of a famine. But in this instance, Abraham, in the land that God gave him, experienced a famine. And what did he do? He went down to Egypt. He went down to Egypt. And I think that the writer intends not only that he went down geographically, but he went down spiritually in a panic, doing something that seemed reasonable to him, a better opportunity, if you please, rather than trusting God. So now we have Abraham in the land, and he resorts to deceit. He resorts to deceit in order to protect himself. You'll notice it says, verse 11, "When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarah, his wife, 'I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake.'" Well, Abraham, that makes us smile a little bit. Your life is going to be saved. My life will be saved for your sake. Actually, it's a half-truth. Did you know that Sarah was really his cousin? He explains that later. So in a sense, it was a half-lie, half-truth, but in this instance, a half-truth became a whole lie. And Abraham was willing to jeopardize his wife to save his own skin. And she apparently went along with the deceit. It's something like a man who expects his wife to sign an income tax statement that she knows is fraudulent. It has wrong numbers, but she's asked to be party to the lie, to the deceit. And this is what Abraham does in the case of Sarah. So she goes along with it, and she is 65, by the way. And still so beautiful that he knows that the Egyptians will see her and they will want her, and that Pharaoh will want her. Well, you say age 65, she's starting to get up there. Remember that the people in those days lived longer. And then remember that Liz Taylor lived to 79. I Googled that on the internet this morning. That's why I'm able to share that little bit of news with you. Normally, things like that don't stick in my mind. And she remained and kept her beauty into older age. I wouldn't say that 79 is old age. I think you're actually just getting started when you're in your 70s. But nonetheless, Sarah was very beautiful, stunning in appearance. And so what happened now is that his lying becomes profitable. Because you see, if they said that she was his sister, now the custom was that Pharaoh was going to have to negotiate with Abraham and give him some kind of a dowry and buy him off so that Pharaoh could marry his sister. And that's exactly what happens. You'll notice it says that Pharaoh saw her, verse 15, and they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and for her sake he dealt well with Abraham. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. Abraham thought to himself, my deceit is working. Not all lies are immediately exposed. Sometimes they work. It's like the Sunday school boy said when he was asked what a lie was. He says, a lie is an abomination unto the Lord, but a very present help in time of trouble. Well, my friend, I sure hope that you tune in next time for the rest of the story, because eventually Abraham's lie was exposed, and we're reminded of the fact that we should be able to trust God and be truthful even when we are in a very hard place. The reason I believe that this message is such an encouragement to all of us trusting God when the wells are dry is because we're reminded that the kind of economic downturn that we experience here in America, of course, it is very different from what the people experienced in the Middle East during the time of Abraham. But in Abraham's time, it was a famine. And the question of what we do when we are in a tight place and how we respond to it is very, very important. That's why I hope that you tune in and join us again next time for Running to Win. Let me say also that if you stay tuned, you'll be given some information as to how these messages can be yours. I'm gratified to know that there are many who receive these messages, they play them in their Bible studies, and they become the basis for further study and reflection. So from my heart to yours today, I hope that you have a good day, and I also hope that I'll see you right here next time on Running to Win. God bless you.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Trusting God When the Wells Are Dry, the second of seven messages in a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Next time, more on Abraham's Moral Dilemma. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.